O mortal, O son of man, can these bones live? In the name of Jesus, amen. I do not think that it's very hard to imagine the questions that are racing through the hearts and minds of Mary and Martha this morning. Because they are the same kind of questions that we ask ourselves when sickness and tragedy and death and things like these rupture our lives. They are the same kind of questions we ask when life is ever interrupted or changed in a way that we do not want it to be changed. They are the same kind of questions that we ask ourselves and show life to be as fragile and brittle and hard as it is. Why? Why did this have to happen? How could this have happened? What's next for me? Could it be a beginning and an ending? Could it be just an ending or a beginning? How do I move forward after this? Can I even make sense of what has just happened? What will life be like now? Well, I didn't work out the way that I had so arduously planned for it to happen. What could I or should I have done differently? Is there any life after this? And really, why didn't God step in and do something? And the list keeps writing itself, does it not? As we ponder the interaction of Jesus with Mary and Martha in this narrative, 53 verses, we see that along this long, arduous road to resurrection, Jesus comforts them. And that's something that we can relate to, is it not? We travel a similar type of road, a long Lenten road of repentance and humbling, always longing for the fulfillment of the promises of Jesus to our sight. We beg that question the Lord asked of Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones, O mortal, O son of man, that is, can these bones live? Because that's what we really want to know. That's the question that resurfaces again and again as we carry on in this life. Especially the question that gnaws at us as we perhaps walk through the cemetery or we sit by the grave or the tombstone. In one sense, it's a very simple question with a simple answer. And yet, as you all well know, there is nothing simple about the rupture that death brings to our life. Jesus tells his disciples that Lazarus has simply fallen asleep, but that he goes to wake him up, if you will. And here Jesus is saying something that is taken at face value but misunderstood by all those who hear him. As they reply, well, Jesus, if he's simply just sleeping, what's the big deal? He'll just simply wake up. He will be restored, that is, and he will recover. But as you all well know, Jesus did not mean the sleep of sleep. He meant the sleep of death. And so he tells them plainly, Lazarus has died. These are chilling words when we hear them, especially when they are about our loved ones, whoever they may be. And perhaps even more mysterious is that Jesus goes on to say that I rejoice that I was not there. To begin with, I rejoice that I was not there so that you would see and believe. That's a heavy cross right there. And a cross, if you've never thought about it, was laid upon Lazarus. Not so much his sickness and his death to begin with, but his return to this mortal life with all of its trials and tribulations as he was called away from that eternal peace and rest. And that this was for the benefit of others. That this was for the benefit of his two sisters, surely. But also for the nations, for you, for all. all as a sign that was pointing to the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And that by this sign, the raising of Lazarus, that faith would be strengthened unto eternal life. Now, in your grief, as you bear that cross of death, you may be tempted with Martha and Mary to say, as they do, if only the Lord were here, none of this would have had to happen. Yet the Lord himself comes quickly to our tomb by way of the cross. And he is with you by way of the cross. Because it will be by his death that he will manifest his glory. And this will only be in this life revealed to your eyes of faith. Now Martha does concede that Jesus, that she knows, that God will give Jesus whatever he asks. And so Jesus tells her, look, your brother will rise. And now Martha, she partly grasps this truth. As she replies to Jesus, well, I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. This is true, but there is something far deeper here that Jesus, that Martha is missing. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, notice the tense of the verb that he uses. It's the present tense. I am. So he's not pointing to the past that I was the resurrection and the life, nor is he really pointing at this point to the future, I will be the resurrection and the life. No, he's saying, I am, present day, I am the resurrection and the life. Therefore, the resurrection day has already come today, ahead of time. Jesus is here now so that what will be true on the last day for everyone is true on that day that he raises Lazarus. So whoever believes in Jesus, even though he dies, he will be in life. And whoever believes in Jesus will live even though he dies until that day. And he will never die because he will come into the age of life which is forever. Therefore, Jesus goes to the tomb and he tells them to remove the stone from the tomb, and he simply says, Lazarus, come out. And then the dead man is simply no longer dead. As the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, so it came to be that day. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, Yahweh, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. When God appears, you know that he appears because he will open the graves and raise his dead people. And that is the conclusion of Jesus' signs that he says that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is the one whom the Father has sent into the world, not to condemn it, but to save it from death. But to save it from death, he would do it in a very foolish and strange way. For his glorification, it will begin from that day, the day that he raises Lazarus from the dead. Because Jesus' enemies have decided to kill him. Because they are scared, because people are believing in this, quote, religious teacher, and he has raised Lazarus, and so he has gained a following, and he must be killed, crucified. But ironically, that killing is exactly his glorification. It's his exaltation. It's his lifting up. It's his death, which is our glory. Because he was given into death by God, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and when it was lifted up, those who saw it lived. And those people were drawn and they lived. So Jesus says, similarly, as he is raised up upon the cross, look, here I am. Life in the midst of death. Glory in the midst of dishonor. And this is what glory looks like in this age. It looks like crucifixion and suffering and death. What looks like death to the human eye is actually God's life being poured out upon the earth. And so he breathes his last and he hands over his spirit. And the water and the blood flow out of his side. And that is what the glory of God looks like in this age. And it's all that we will see here in this age. And so the crucial question comes back to us, does it not? Back to our lips as we look upon the crucified Jesus, the dead Jesus, or as maybe we stare blankly into the grave, weeping at the tombstone. Son of man, O mortal, can these bones live? Can these bodies live again, even though they die? Can we who only know death in this life know eternal life? The Lord Jesus knows. And his answer is yes, they do. But it's precisely because his dead body on the cross is the same as the resurrection body in which he appeared to Mary Magdalene. And the two on the road to Emmaus, and the 11, and to 500 at one time, and even to St. Paul on the road to Damascus. And then he was set free and loose among the dead and the grave to wreak havoc on sin and death and bring it to its end. He knows, that is, Jesus knows that the dead can live because he was dead and now he is alive. So while we wait for an end to this Lenten season, this Lenten life, if you will, and an end to the longing to see the resurrection life, Jesus reminds us again that the resurrection will happen on that day is the resurrection that he brings now in himself. It's not different, only in the sense that it is the difference between faith and sight. So our longing, you see, is right for Christ and his living body and his blood. St. Irenaeus asked the question rhetorically, how can they say that the body, which is nourished by the body and blood of our Lord, comes into corruption and does not partake of life? No, he says. Our bodies, when they receive his body and blood, are no longer corruptible as they have the hope of the resurrection. End quote. Without a doubt, the flesh of Christ is life-giving food and drink. Now, Jesus doesn't take death lightly. It is our last and greatest enemy. For he sheds tears at his friend Lazarus's tomb. And he himself, on this side of death, sheds tears that will be on the other side of death, if you will, be wiped away in the resurrection of the dead. But we too will not take death lightly either. We always seek the good of our neighbor's life, no matter its circumstance or when it happens. But we care for all stages of human life. And we weep and we mourn and we grieve at the death of this creation. But we also know as Christians that a day is coming, a day that is already here in Christ, when every tear will be wiped away by God. When there will be no more crying or pain or death or sin or Satan anymore, and when God shepherds us to the streams of the living water of his holy city. So, O mortal, O son of man, can these bones live again? Yes, yes, they will. They do. The bones that sin, Satan, and the world have crushed and ground into the dust, Behold, by the sound of the Lord's breath, flesh and life will come upon them, and they will live. And they will stand on their feet, and you will stand on your feet, and you will see with your own eyes your Lord and your God, your Yahweh. For you will say with the psalmist, for you have delivered my body, my soul from death, from Hades, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. For all his people, he is the Lord. He has spoken. He has done it. He will do it. He is doing it. In the name of Jesus, amen.